Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined for tonight's F Everything show by my main F Everything
peep. Your main F buddy?
Yeah, Doug.
I'm your friends with benefits.
You are. You're my string attached.
Yes. I just ate a lot of pizza, and I fear that during the podcast you'll hear little blurps not from my mouth, but from my belly. You'll hear a little grumbling and tumbling.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you were going to burp in your buns.
No, not at all. Okay. I don't plan to do that,
Thank goodness. Hey, guess what, everyone? We are just days away from F This Movie Fest 3. Our third annual all-Twitter film festival happening February 15th at noon Central Standard Time this year, celebrating the films of 1985. If you want to know all about F This Movie Fest 3, and believe me, you do, where should you go, Douglas?
I should know this. It's probably someplace in California. It's someplace warm.
It's online.
Oh,
it's on the...
Oh, it's fthismovie.net.
That's the one.
fthismovie.net. And our Twitter handle is at fthismovie.
It is.
And our facebook.com/fthismovie.
Yeah.
Like us there.
You should.
Follow us on Twitter because that's how you play the game.
Yeah. You can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us in the iTunes store by searching F This Movie. And if you like the show, if you're a fan of the show, please leave feedback, leave a review. You can find us at dvdverdict.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Did I get them all?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's out of the way.
Yes.
A lot of times before one of our special events, pre-Scary Movie Month, pre-F This Movie Fest, Douglas and I sit down for one of these freeform shows.
Well, right. It's
we
too much.
We call them the F Everything.
We're too excited to talk about just one movie.
Exactly. How can we?
Or a genre of movies. We have to talk about... I want to talk about everything.
Yeah, me too.
I want to talk about your feelings.
Okay.
Talk about love.
How do you want to start?
Talk about life.
How do you
want to... about your philosophies.
How do you want to get into this?
I don't know. Philip Seymour Hoffman died.
Yeah, let's not even talk about that. That's very sad. So we are going to talk about F This Movie Fest, probably, I'm guessing. Who knows where this is going to go? We'll probably just end up talking about Star Wars casting. But before we do, Douglas, have you seen anything good lately?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of great stuff. I've been playing catch-up because near the end of 2013, the previous year, I was scrambling very madly, a mad dash to watch as many, quote, you know, great movies as possible for the year. And I didn't get to everything I wanted to get to. For example, for your wife's birthday, we all saw Her.
That's right.
I don't know if you've talked about Her on the podcast.
I believe we have.
Okay. If I had seen that before, that show we recorded with JB... it would be on my list. It might even be as high as number two or three.
Not number one.
I still think Gravity is my number one. But I really, really liked Her. I just thought it had so much interesting things to say.
Yeah.
I liked the performances were unbelievable.
How about that Amy Adams?
The Futurescape. She's so breathtaking in everything that she's in. She is not transparent. Translucent, I mean. You don't see the veins on her like chest area right below her...
It's the way that I know that the blood is pumping to her heart, which is filled with love for me.
Interesting.
So I don't mind it.
That's okay. So I saw Her. It was great. I also saw Rush, which was good.
Okay.
Would not make my top 10.
Jason Patrick and Jennifer Jason Leigh as undercover cops shooting heroin. Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Tears in Heaven. That movie's Rush. This is the Ron Howard race car movie, right?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. How is it?
It's good.
Okay.
You know, I'm spoiled.
Did Chris Hemsworth talk about me at all while you were watching it?
He did not. Does he usually talk about you?
I'm hoping that he does at one
of these. I think you're a little paranoid that Chris Hemsworth's talking about you too much.
I want him to talk about
you. You know what he said about you?
I actually heard something.
He's like, Patrick Bromley, that's a horrible name.
I do so much to get his attention, and he just will not notice me.
He's not even on Twitter. We can't even harass him on Twitter.
I would, too.
Rush is a good movie.
I'm thinking of you.
But I am spoiled because during Junesploitation for the Car Day, I watched two movies, Grand Theft Auto, the Ron Howard's first movie.
Yeah.
And Senna, the documentary on the race car driver.
Okay.
And Senna is a great documentary, and it's real, and the footage is unbelievable.
And Ron Howard has made a better car movie called Grand Theft Auto.
And Rush is, it's good. I mean, but it's just, it's kind of, you know, it's a little, you know,
a
little.
I've read a lot of things call it Ron Howard's best movie.
How could that be if he made Apollo 13?
Okay.
Apollo 13 is so good.
It is good, right? I have never wanted to go back and watch it.
Oh my God, I watch it like once a year.
Because you love space.
I do. Yeah, speaking of which, back off. I need my space. So I saw Rush. Yeah. I saw Saving Mr. Banks, which was Pooping Mr. Fart. I did not like that movie.
I kind of like what you did there.
It was all...
It's not good, right?
It's not. I want to see... I said this in the trailers thing when I first saw the preview.
Yeah.
I want to see a movie starring Tom Hanks.
Right.
As Walt Disney.
Oh, see, you could have stopped right there. I want to see a movie starring Tom
Hanks.
Exactly.
But Walt Disney. I want to see a Walt Disney movie. And this is a movie that has a lot of flashbacks with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't care
about
that.
But it's good, because now you know why she wrote Mary Poppins and why she's sad.
And the interesting thing, and I think we've talked about this on the site, is that...
All bullshit.
Yeah. The woman who wrote Mary Poppins, I believe her name is J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. J.K. Rowling. She did not like the movie.
No.
She did not like Walt Disney. She did not continue her collaborations with him. And honestly, it's not the... For me personally, it's not the best experience to watch a movie where a person is pretty difficult and kind of a bitch, you know? It's like, no, these are great songs, and this is great. And believe me, it's a real story. That's fine. But
get on the right side of history already. We know how this shakes out.
A bunch of other stuff, too, but I don't. They're not coming to mind right now. If I think of them later, I'll throw them in. Because it's an everything show. It's kind of like Outback Steakhouse.
I like Outback Steakhouse.
No rules, just right.
Mate.
Minus the blooming onion.
I've been watching a lot of horror movies, just coincidentally. It's not like I'm on a big horror kick. But I finally saw this movie, Grabbers, which I've been hearing about for a while. It does have a Tremors vibe. That's not accidental. It's, I want to say, Irish, and it takes place in this small Irish town where these big tentacled monsters appear and start grabbing people and killing them. And the only way to prevent being killed by the Grabbers... They're, like, allergic to alcohol, so you have to be super drunk all the time. It's a great premise for a horror movie.
Sure.
Such a funny idea that, like, this whole town has to get crazy drunk in order to fight these monsters. I didn't feel like the movie lived up to that idea, because I thought the idea was so great. It's still fine. I enjoyed the movie enough. But, man, I loved that premise so much
I feel like there's so many horror movies out there that come up with, and it's. I'm sure this is the case with most movies, but horror specifically lends itself to anything can happen, creativity run amok.
A couple weeks ago on the podcast, I talked about that movie Plus One, which I only knew about because you wrote about it in trailers, where they're at the party and then their clones show up.
Yeah.
Talk about a movie with that has a great setup and no idea what to do with it. Literally no idea.
And specifically horror, it so often is always disappointing. Yeah. I mean, we've seen... You see way more than I do, but I remember back in the early 2000s, we used to see a lot of sneak previews and stuff. We saw this Australian movie at Piper's Alley? Or no, at Century Landmark that was called Undead. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And again, you're excited for this supposedly really great... it's Australian, right?
Yeah.
It's not New Zealand.
The Spirig Brothers.
Right. And
they made Daybreakers.
And it's...
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And Undead is not.
No, it has moments.
Yeah.
But you wanted it to be dead alive, and it's not, you know?
Right, exactly. That's my point, I guess.
Yeah. I saw a movie called Alice Kills, which... I had read about more than once as being really good, and for about an hour and 15 minutes, I sat there scratching my head, why is anyone talking about this movie? I don't really like it. It's about a girl who...
Kills?
Yeah, it's not a spoiler. She kills her best friend accidentally on purpose, and then goes into a crazy spiral and starts doing drugs and blah, 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 blah. Mm. So for an hour and 15 minutes, I could not figure out why anybody was talking about this movie, and then the last 15 minutes, it's like, oh, this is why, and I won't say why, but... It certainly cuts loose in the last 15 minutes. For me, too little, too late.
Does it redeem itself? No. You'd
no,
say no.
No, no, okay. No. Unless you're a fan of outrageous gore. Then I rewatched the Evil Dead remake, speaking of outrageous gore.
Why do you do this? I'm so confused. There's 24 hours in a day. And listen, this is between you and me. Forget the podcast for a second.
Wait, are we not recording this?
You're recording, but just
nobody's listening? Because I need to tell you about this accident that I had last night. I'm pretty sure I killed a guy.
What state was it in?
Drunkenness?
You're fine, then. Listen, there's 24 hours in a day, and I know this. This is my intervention with Patrick.
I didn't have any agreed to your premise.
You have a wife
24 hours
and
in
two
a day.
Children.
Yeah.
And,
still
eight
back.
Jobs.
Yeah.
And you need to sleep some more. You stay up until 5 o'clock in the morning watching movies, and then you fall asleep for half an hour, and then your kids wake you up, and you go through it all again.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Lots of monster?
Watch movies.
Crystal meth? But even me, like,
a little bit of the blue meth.
We did a 24-hour marathon recently in your very comfortable basement.
Yeah.
And while I was Little Spoon and you were Big Spoon, I still managed to fall asleep. And usually I'm never falling asleep if I'm Little Spoon.
Yeah.
It was during an Italian horror movie.
Exactly.
So.
Now you've never seen Nightmare City, and I have more than once.
Why would you program?
I don't know.
Italian horror movie.
Because that was part of the experience. I'll totally do it again.
You're nuts. So why do you do it? I guess my point. You still haven't seen.
No,
you saw Bridge on the River Kwai.
I did.
Let's recap that video where you talked about.
Oh, I've only caught up to two movies: Bridge on the River Kwai and The Foreigner with Steven Seagal. I started M like three times, and I've fallen asleep every time. Not M's fault. It's one in the morning when I put it on.
Well, exactly. I started Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah.
And I saw, sorry, that was me.
That's okay.
I put it on, and it's a jungle, and American prisoners, and there's Japanese, and they're whistling.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't, this is 3 hours of this. And I talked to you, and you said it's absolutely 3 hours of that. And listen, I know it's probably the best movie ever.
A bridge blows up.
Oh, my God. It's kind of like Alice Kills. What a great ending. Redeems it, right?
So I was in the mood to rewatch the Evil Dead remake, and... You know, I know I shouldn't rewatch movies that I didn't necessarily like the first time, but I've turned around on a lot of movies that way. So if you never give something a second chance, you're denying yourself the possibility of really liking something.
I'm laughing at myself right now because you asked me what I'd seen lately, and I was thinking back to, like, the things in the theater, the new things, and I did something very similar to you. One night, it was a weekend night, and I was just in a mood to watch Mean Girls, and I put Mean Girls on, and it's a good movie.
Yeah,
I like
Mean Girls.
Is good, and it's funny, and it's, Lindsay Lohan is not crazy, and it's kind of sad. You know,
it's very sad, yeah.
Right, and Tina Fey is actually pretty funny, and blah, blah, blah. But it's funny you say that, because obviously Mean Girls is not a movie that I didn't like the first time, but I did watch it just because I felt like it, as opposed to, like,
that's what
50
you have to do.
New movies on my DVR.
No, that's what you'll make yourself miserable if you only watch, like, and I do it all the time because I have to watch so many things, like, for work, quote-unquote, whether it's something I'm going to write about for the site, something we're going to do a podcast on, something I'm reviewing, whatever. So I'm always having to watch something with, like, an end game in mind. I have to write about this. I have to do something with this. And so a lot of times I am, like, beating myself up thinking, oh, I really should be watching M, you know? I have...
Yeah.
Part of the problem, too, is that I can't... I like to put on stuff I've seen before so that I can be doing other stuff during it. Because if I'm going to watch M, I'm not going to be writing in the middle of M.
Well, let me just throw this back in your face, because the other day, I stayed home. My daughter, our babysitter, had some other obligations, so I stayed home with my daughter all day.
You're such a good dad.
I am a great father. Father of the year, says my mug I bought for myself. I stayed home with my daughter. It was great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed her. She took two naps and played. And I put on the incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Yes.
Because it's on HBO. And you were like, why'd you put this movie on? And I was like, because I wanted to put something. I had never seen that movie before.
Right.
But I know of all the movies that were like new movies on my DVR that I wanted to see, that movie I could easily put on and kind of skip a scene if I'm chasing my daughter or whatever, and it's fine. And speaking of Incredible Burt Wonderstone, it's not the worst movie. It's not a good movie.
No.
But I want to say to those people, I don't know if there are people out there who think that movie's a piece of shit.
People definitely named it as one of the worst movies of 2013.
That's crazy. It's not a...
It's too forgettable to be one of the worst movies of 2013.
Right, and it's not even that bad. It's
I think pretty
there's
bad,
some...
But...
Nah, there's some good performances. There's funny jokes. I laughed a couple times. Which, honestly, in a lot of comedies, in quotes...
To be fair, though, you love magic. You love space, and you love magic. So everything you're watching is right in your wheelhouse.
Prestidigitation.
Exactly.
I like...
You like close-up magic,
The Sweet
though.
Science? Wait,
you
that's
like,
boxing.
You don't like the far away
No,
magic.
No. I don't like the David Copperfield.
No.
I don't like the Chester Copperpot magic.
No, none of us do.
No, listen, the movie is not...
I'm listening.
...good, but I will say this. A lot of comedies, I'm using quotes...
Yeah.
...have no jokes, and or they're so lazy and so you're just relying on the characters, I think, of the Adam Sandler movies, for example.
For sure.
And those are legitimately terrible movies.
Yes.
This movie is at least trying a couple things.
Yes.
I think the Jim Carrey, Chris Angel character is actually kind of funny. He does some funny things.
Yeah, I agree with
that. And it's like, okay, a movie that has a couple of these elements cannot be the worst, is my point.
I agree.
Again, it's not a good movie. I'm just defending it as like, no, this movie is fine.
Right. So the Evil Dead remake, I liked a little bit better this time. It's it's still not a good movie. But again, I was able to see it more for the movie that it is. It's really just a special effects demo reel. It's very short. It flies right by. Some of the worst acting you've ever seen in a mainstream Hollywood film.
Mm.
But also Jane Levy, who's so great and so adorable and should probably call me. And so she Zoe Bell understands. She's off shooting a movie.
What would Chris Hemsworth say?
Chris Hemsworth, I can't get a hold of. He will not.
And Amy not Adams, what would she say?
Amy Adams.
Cool with it.
Please don't tell Amy Adams. So it's fine. Like, I didn't dislike it as much. I think, you know, before I kind of had my hopes up, and then I knew not to have my hopes up this time. So, and Jane Levy carries it because she's really, really good. But it's a movie with a lot of problems. Tons of insane gore. It is impossible to get an NC-17 for violence, apparently.
No. Yeah, no, it's for sex. Because
you cannot believe how... Which I hope comes up again when, like, everything I'm reading out of Sundance is people saying that The Raid 2, everyone has said, oh, there's no way that movie gets an R. It's just so crazy, crazy violent.
Berendal?
Yeah. It better get an R. If Evil Dead remake got an R, The Raid 2 better get an R, or just be shown uncut, because I don't want to see a compromised version of The Raid 2.
You want to see Blue is the Warmest Color.
Exactly.
The R version of that? No, exactly. I want to see the dirtiest version I could get my hands on.
And... The other movie I saw... Oh, I rewatched Robot Jocks.
Wait, what's that?
It's from, like, 1989.
What's the movie with Hugh Jackman where it's...
Real Steel.
Real Steel.
I haven't seen Real Steel, but I saw Robot Jocks. Robot Jocks I saw by myself as a kid.
You lose a bet to make that movie?
It's possible. People say that movie's good. I haven't seen it, but...
I've seen parts of it. It's, like, forgettable and...
When I was, like, 12, I was able to go see Robot Jocks at the Elk Grove Theater down the street because it was PG or PG-13, and it was Saturday afternoon, and I went and see it, and you would think, as a 12-year-old, it's just... It's Robotech the movie. It's about guys in giant suits fighting. And you would think that I would love it, and at 12, I was like, no, it wasn't that good.
This is worse than Jewel of the Nile.
That's sort of where my head was at. So I rewatched it because I was on that Full Moon kick, because I had signed up for Full Moon Streaming, and I was writing the column. And it's not on Full Moon Streaming, but I wanted to watch it anyway, so I'm not going to write about it until it shows up on Full Moon Streaming, because I have to play fair.
Let's give a little plug to your column, Full Moon Fever.
Yeah. I'm going to try and write some about Full Moon. So I rewatched Robot Jocks and liked it way more than I did when I was 12. I didn't realize it was Stuart Gordon at the time who made Reanimator and From Beyond and a lot of cool movies and some garbage movies, too. Sure. But obviously very cheaply made for maybe like $2 or $3 million. So you can really tell that they're models and optical effects shots. But now that kind of stuff has a charm. And there were a lot of moments in Robot Jocks where I was like, oh, I'm enjoying this way more than Pacific Rim, which is the same movie, basically.
Well, that's the Star Wars for our generation.
Yeah, exactly. Except Pacific Rim adds giant monsters, but...
Kaiju.
I dug Robot Jocks this time around, and I hope...
I dug it, too.
I like it. I hope it shows up on Full Moon Streaming so that I can write about it.
So if you're listening, Charles Band...
Yeah.
And the rest.
And put it up on Full Moon Streaming.
Put it up there. What else have you seen? Anything?
That's it? That was four.
That's it?
Because I just did one of these.
On wrestling movies, right? How'd that go over?
It went well. People liked it.
People love wrestling.
People do. I don't know that much about wrestling.
How does Heather... No Holds Barred hold up?
Oh, No Holds Barred could be its own podcast.
How does Santa with Muscles hold up?
I've never seen Santa with Muscles. No Holds Barred, again, was one of those things where, like, as a kid, I knew it was kind of bad. And when I was the audience for it, like, I wanted to see it. I liked wrestling. I liked Hulk Hogan. I was super excited to see it. I went. I was like, nah, it wasn't exactly, but okay. And now I watch it, and I can't wrap my head around how awful that movie is.
I remember nothing about it aside from the main villain's name is Zeus.
That's correct.
Tony Lister, I think his name is.
That's correct.
Okay, and that's it, Zeus. And I remember thinking he was very scary looking.
Sure, they draw in a unibrow on him, because why not? it is one of the... I cannot believe how bad that movie is. It's like... It's as bad as the Incredible Burt Wonderstone, I guess.
Oh, so the worst.
Is what I'm saying.
I gotcha.
So should we talk at this movie fest, or you want to talk about, like...
I want to talk real quick about your celebrity
Jesse
crushes.
Jesse Eisenberg being cast.
I want to talk about, you said, Amy Adams, Zoe Bell.
I have a lot of them. It's fine.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
These are all people you would leave your wife for? I'm just curious. Just want to set the record straight.
No, I'm not leaving my wife
Britney
for anyone.
Spears.
now, right?
For me, it's just Zac Efron. Efron.
And yet you didn't go see That Awkward Moment.
Efron, no, because it looks like garbage.
Yeah, but so do all of his other movies.
Amanda Scholl.
That you can't wait to see.
Star of
Now, her you could
stage.
Probably get, because I'm pretty sure she's working at a Dairy Queen.
No, she was on One Tree Hill for a bit.
Oh, no, so she's doing great then?
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, Sophia Bush is on Chicago PD.
So not a Dairy Queen?
She's working the braiser part of Dairy Queen. So it's she's working the hot dogs and
the
meat.
Chili dogs.
She's working the meat side of things. She's not slinging no blizzard, that's for sure.
Do you want to talk about
this? Yeah, let's talk about the fest. Okay, so this Sunday.
No, it's not Sunday. It would be Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, my God. I'm such a dope. I'm such a dummy.
It's okay.
Saturday. It's always Saturday.
Yeah, it's always Saturday.
Because we always did it before the Super Bowl.
Correct.
We didn't this year for multiple reasons.
Correct.
And actually, I like the fact that we have a little more cushion away from
For
the cushion away from such
big The cushion
events.
Of movie tweets.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm pushing out my movie tweets.
I will be very wrapped up in Sochi. But I am stoked about the Saturday the 15th. F This Movie Fest. Follow.
Three.
At F This Movie on Twitter and use the hashtag F This Movie Fest. We'll tell you, everyone, listen, this is very important.
Oh, yeah.
The F This Movie Twitter handle will tell you when to start the movies.
That's
because
right.
obviously movies
that
are
way we sync up.
And we all sync up at the same time. And occasionally we'll do time code checks.
Right.
So it'll be good.
It will be good.
Get on the Twitter.
You know, we try to pick a theme every year. The first year, it just kind of came to me because I just like a lot of movies that came out in 82. And then we kind of decided to run with that. Like, okay, let's do a
first
year.
I don't know. Did you think it was going to be a recurring? I mean, I think we hoped it would be recurring. But it was like, well, if we're going to do
we'll see what happens, right?
Year, it's your favorite year of movies.
Right.
1982.
Exactly. And so then it came up again. And we're like, okay, let's stick with this year thing. So each year I struggle with, okay, what year do I pick now? And the way that it works is I come up with 4 different years and 12 different possible lineups for each year. And then I email all of those to Doug and say, which one do you like? And he writes back,
No, give me some, oh my God, give me some credit because.
No, you deserve a lot of credit.
Listen,
you're the one that I have to bounce all this shit off of.
Autistic, and that's great.
I'm very artistic.
I am
Thank
artistic.
You. Thank you. Oh,
and
wait, what did you call me?
My point simply is this.
All right.
A lot of people.
It's on a Sunday.
A lot of people out there are going to nitpick
yes.
and criticize.
True.
And the whole point, and even last year's festival, F This Movie Fest 2, in which we focused on the movies of 1991.
Yes, we did.
Listen, last year we did 91. We did New Jack City, Terminator 2, and the most controversial of all was Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes.
And the whole time, what did we say to everyone out there numerous times?
We know what we're doing.
Absolutely. We know what we're doing. And my point simply is this. Beyond the royal we, it's not just the we. It is Patrick, the CEO.
The royal we.
The figurehead
we
of
in
the
that
site.
Sense is my penis.
And the point is this. Don't throw me under the bus. When you throw me ideas, I am supportive. I say,
you
I
are.
Trust you.
You are.
I will definitely. And there was more emails. I tried to help you.
Yes, of course.
Correct.
Yeah, you're like, not that one. Not that one.
Absolutely. I'm like, you really want to do Cocoon? Is that how it's Cocoon?
I was just throwing it out there.
You really want to do Weird Science?
These movies were never in the running.
Aside from, what's her name?
Just so you know.
Kelly Rock and Weird Science.
Yeah.
I only remember, is it Bill Paxton saying, what's he say?
Oh, something about a dirty Ashton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. He's trying to make somebody throw up or something.
I think so, and that'll do it.
I don't like that movie, and I didn't grow up watching it, and maybe that's part of why I don't like it, because I didn't see that movie till years later.
I feel like I was aware of it,
but I never saw it.
I saw it a couple times when I was a kid, and it's still garbage. I don't think it matters if you grew up with it.
Yeah,
I don't think it really holds up.
I'm not a huge fan.
All right. Back to the Future is your favorite movie of
Correct.
All time. But what is
But my least favorite movie of 1985. Is it weird?
A little weird.
How that works?
Remove Back to the Future from 85.
It's out.
What is your favorite movie from 85 aside from Back
Jesus,
to the Future?
I don't know, because I would need to have a list of every movie that came out.
You just went over
this list. 1985 right in front of me.
Well, you don't have it.
There are a ton of movies that came out in 85 that I like/love. But I recognize that that's more of a personal preference.
Right, of course. You love European Vacation.
Exactly.
It's kind of a garbage movie.
Exactly.
Except for the one scene with the German girl and the dirndl.
I think that they are a better Rusty and Audrey than Anthony Michael
Hall
and David Aaron.
Anyone? Oh, who are those?
I think Jason Lively is the Rusty who was in Night of the Creeps.
Hmm.
I think that's his name, Jason Lively. Audrey is not anyone, and she passed away many years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like Philip Seymour Hoffman's ad.
Yeah, right? So I think that, hands down, the actual best movie of 1985...
aside from Back to the Future.
Is right, is Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I did not, why aren't we watching Brazil?
Because that would not be a fun movie to tweet during. We would all want to kill ourselves afterwards.
I've seen Brazil
great once. Movie, but not fun to talk during.
I don't remember anything about Brazil.
Super good.
Because I'm pretty sure when I saw it, I was working at Blockbuster in the 90s. Check out our video on Blockbuster. And I borrowed it because I knew it was good. And I think I was way too young. I did not understand what was going on.
Yeah.
I barely understand Terry Gilliam as it is.
It's very good. A close second, possibly, from 85, To Live and Die in L.A., William Friedkin movie. Super underrated, great cops and robbers movie from 1985.
I do love, in all seriousness, I love these choices because I did not think that. I mean, there are some more marquee movies like Breakfast Club.
Cocoon.
Brewster's Millions.
Yes.
Desperately Seeking Susan. Those are all movies that I thought you would choose. My favorite, if you're asking, by the way, is it weird that like I just asked you so I can tell you
just
my
setup. Yeah, it totally talk about your favorite movie in 1985.
I think it's real genius.
Yeah,
it's a real genius.
That's
great. Real genius, everyone. Real
That's
genius.
A great one. Do you think that people's enjoyment of real genius is entirely dependent on their tolerance for Val Kilmer, like in Bill Murray mode?
Sure.
Because I think there are people who watch that movie and they feel like Val Kilmer is just smug and shitty, and they hate him and want to punch him in the face. Like, he knows how adorable he's being, and they can't get past that. Now, I saw Real Genius pretty young, and I thought he was awesome.
You know,
he's the coolest Chris Knight.
I'm not sure how I can respond to that, only because...
Respond.
I also saw it when I was fairly young, and I probably thought he was cool also.
Yeah, right.
But I think there's definitely...
toxic waste.
There's definitely moments in that movie where he redeems himself multiple times. He's not just an asshole for asshole's sake. I think a lesser performer or a lesser script would have him just be like this...
He's
dick.
Too cool for school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he is too cool for school, but he cares about his roommate. He cares about all the nerds on his floor.
Sarah Jessica Parker. And who wouldn't care about
him? He wants sex in the city, is my point.
You gave my room?
I love that scene where he's calling his parents.
There's a lot of great scenes in that movie.
Kent, he hates Kent.
I'm a big fan of Michelle Mayrink, I believe is how you say her last name, as Jordan.
Yeah.
She's great. And
that kind of like was your 80s type, like the Ally Sheedy...
Breakfast Club,
Jordan,
Ally Sheedy.
Yeah.
Although, but War Games Ally Sheedy is an entirely different, very girl next door. And
do you still like her in that?
Oh, yeah. War Games Ally Sheedy is as good as it gets.
Well, so where do you rank Breakfast Club Ally Sheedy?
I mean, below War Games Ally Sheedy.
Well, what about Short Circuit Ally Sheedy?
Way below.
What about Short Circuit Gutenberg?
In terms of Sheedies, it goes...
Yeah, rank your Sheedies.
It goes War Games, then Breakfast Club... Then I believe that it's done. I'm done.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm out on Sheedy.
Top two, everyone.
Made to Order, doesn't come up on the list.
I can't name.
Only the Lonely.
I named all the Ally Sheedy movies I knew.
Short Circuit, no. She's Insane Almost Fire. She's no good in that movie.
The craziest thing right now, I'm going to get a little philosophical, is that she's living right now somewhere.
She still acts all the time. She's an artist, too. She was in that movie a couple years ago where she was lesbian. And,
so all the time because a couple years ago.
High art.
Was she naked in that?
She was just on an episode of Psych like 3 weeks ago.
That's okay. That's a better example.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You have proven me wrong.
If you want to stay
and
up
I
to date.
Graciously accept your knowledge.
You want to keep up to date on your Sheedy? There it is.
If nothing else, I'm trying to keep up to date on my Psych episodes.
So we went with 85, mostly because we could build a lineup around Back to the Future. And different movies came in and out of the lineup, and everything was chosen for a different reason. I don't have to get into all my reasons. I'm not going to defend my choices, everyone.
Personally, I do love hearing it because I like to see how sausage is made, is my point. No, I like to see
my sausage.
I like to hold it, and I like to I like to see the process, and I like to know what you're thinking.
But you kind of know it because you know me well enough that in which I'm crazy.
I also know, and hopefully this isn't doesn't pull back the curtain too much, you were skeptical about 85.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it does seem like, I mean, obviously you've made... It's well known that you love Back to the Future.
Yes.
So to include that movie, you thought, well, do people think I'm just putting this... But it's like, no, it's a great movie. That's a great movie to tweet with and have a communal experience about. Your concern was just that you might... people might perceive it as...
pandering.
Yeah. And
a lot of
I don't think it's at all.
Seem sort of nostalgia-driven as opposed to movies that I genuinely love. Because there are two movies in this lineup for the first time that I don't love.
Right.
Goonies and Explorers. And... I like both of them enough, and I certainly at one point in my life loved Goonies, like everybody loved Goonies, you know, who's our age. But I chose it because I figured people would like it, and sure. it would be fun to tweet through. And Explorers is Joe Dante, and we've never watched a Joe Dante movie during one of these F This Movie Fests, and it's a movie that not a ton of people have seen, and I think it fits in with that sort of Amblin period, you sure. know, where everything was produced by Spielberg. Joe Dante himself has said that it's not his favorite movie. It is an unfinished movie. It was released because he ran out of time, and they said, nope, this is what we're putting out. He said, no, it's not done, guys. They said, no, too bad. So he recognizes its flaws. It is a flawed movie. I think it'll be interesting to talk about, and I think it'll be fun sure. to watch. I don't think any of the movies are going to bomb, but unlike years past, there were other lineups that I showed you.
Yeah.
Where I did passionately love every movie on there. But as you pointed out, some of those choices may be more alienating than others or just more esoteric, you know?
Give me an example.
I had a lineup, I think, for 84 that I really was all on board with. Okay. And Catherine Mary Stewart was in two of them. and I think it was like, you know, we had watched one a couple of years ago, you pointed out, and just that there were some movies that people might not be too excited about. So we went with something that was a little bit more populist.
It's interesting, like with the Bogus Journey comment, yeah. we know what we're doing.
By the way, that played the best.
It
last did. Year.
I think it played
the best. Everyone said, like, oh, that was the high point. That was my favorite.
It's one of those movies, and my example is not this, but Bogus Journey is actually a pretty interesting movie, and it's not just a fun movie to watch, which it is. It's not just a fun movie to tweet through, which it is. It's yeah. also like a pretty good movie.
That was sort of the ace up my sleeve last year, because when people said, oh, why Bogus Journey? Yeah. I knew, no, this movie's really good. And yeah. so the joy of that was having other people discover that, like, oh, wow, it is really good.
Right.
We don't have any of those this year.
But my point is with Goonies, and obviously we've talked before numerous times about how I like it. You don't like it. I know a couple other people on the site don't like it. Overall, it's probably pretty well liked, but if yeah. nothing else, it is.
It's gonna be fun.
You know the beats, and it's something. Because yeah. here's the thing: like, there's been a couple movies the previous 2 years. I think only two that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah,
and that's no way to watch a movie. Like, I think
no, absolutely not.
Right, and because it's if you really think about it, like when you're tweeting, you're missing stuff, or you're reading other people's tweets, and you're laughing, you're sharing. Right. It's communal, and obviously, it's a fun movie themed get together. But if you really want to, like, you know, sit down and watch something, it's probably not the best way to do it. Although I'm not saying it's a bad way. In fact, this is still like a pretty unique experience. My point simply is with Goonies, you can make all the jokes and, you know, I can't wait to
read people's. The movie's insanely long though. Like they need to cut. It's almost 2 hours, and that's way too long for that fucking movie. And, you know, every year is sort of a learning experience, because the first year, the second movie we programmed was Blade Runner. And I programmed it because 82, you got to show Blade Runner. And Blade Runner is like one of the best movies ever made. And I love Blade Runner. But pretty quickly, I figured out, oh, it's the wrong movie for this kind of setting.
Sure.
And it was still fun. And I'm glad we all got to watch it.
And the lineup, too, because I think people dropped off. Not because it's a bad movie at all.
It's just a slower movie. And it's not the kind of thing that you're really making jokes during. And not that everything needs to be like super manic and energetic. But it's just everything is sort of a lesson. And, you know, you had said, why didn't you choose Brazil? I mean, Brazil would have been Blade Runner, you know, great movie, wrong for this kind of thing.
That's why you shouldn't ask me for advice. put Brazil in there. What the fuck do I care?
Did they make a fucking Care Bears movie?
Did he make the Imaginary Dr. Parnassus?
1985, right? Care Bears.
Did he make GoBots?
Yeah, they got the pictures on their stomach.
Do you know Hasbro?
Those pictures on their tummies. They shoot out like rainbows?
Hasbro owns...
Fucking Cam-ass.
Hasbro owns Transformers. Do you know Hasbro bought GoBots?
What?
Yeah.
They have a monopoly on things that change into other things?
That's absolutely correct.
Do they also own Mask?
Listen, I was doing the trailers
what about Muscle?
For last week.
Millions of unusually small creatures lurking everywhere.
Wow, that's insane.
Remember those things?
What about Cops? That cartoon Cops? It's good for something.
Citizens on Patrol.
No.
No, I know it didn't. Cops started as a comic book series and then became a cartoon, or maybe they were in conjunction with one another. The point is, I had every issue of the Cops comic book series, which was like 15 issues. Like, this is not working out. And I definitely tried to watch the cartoon, and I don't think I really liked it. But
well, I was doing the trailers last week for and Transformers the
Age of Extinction.
The teaser came out.
It looks so good. Mark Wahlberg.
Dinobots,
I can definitely take him seriously.
And I'm like, what about Leader One? Because Leader One is the guy I want to see, and not Bumblebee.
And who's like the main bad GoBot? GoBot.
Oh, geez, I don't even know. I think I only had Leader One.
Never had a GoBot, by the way. I had like maybe one Transformer, and it was a hand-me-down from a friend, and it broke. And so I got to keep it. I didn't have any Transformers.
I had a couple Transformers.
I backed G.I. Joe.
I had Optimus Prime, but I also had a couple bad ones, because they were probably the cheap ones at Toys R Us, like the microscope one.
Yeah, yeah, which would have been called what?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of like what his cool name would be.
I had the
Transformer that he turned into an end table. but it was like his it was an end table with uneven legs. He was a villain. So that's how he got you.
You know how you defeated him. You just, like, folded a piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
COPS, the cartoon TV show, stands for Central Organization of Police Specialists. Why? Goddamn stupid.
Why does it have to stand for anything?
What does MUSCLE stand for?
Millions of Unusually Small Creatures Looking Everywhere.
I remember that. And that was a toy that was great with the magnets.
They weren't magnets.
No, that was MASK.
Just, like, they were just pink rubber.
What is MASK?
MASK had magnets. Yeah.
Yeah.
The car would turn into, like, a plane, and by that I mean the doors on the car would open like DeLorean style, and
like
now
it's a plane. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's as much as it fucking transformed. No, MUSCLE you could buy at like the toy store, but you could also get them in like, you put a quarter in the machine and comes out in the plastic bubble.
Were they kind of like Stretch Armstrong? Is that the...
They didn't really stretch. They didn't really do anything. They were just small and pink, like your balls.
Wow. I'm looking up MASK, by the way, because MASK... Mobile Armored Strike Command with a K.
I guess Look at you, unconventional Jesus. Sons of bitches.
I don't know how we got... you were talking about Care Bears. I went to Transformers.
Care Bears.
Hasbro owns... What is that from? Is that from something?
No.
Oh, that's just you?
I just think it's funnier to say Care Bears and like, I kind of have that.
Fucking Care Bear.
So
Transformers looks like garbage.
Yeah,
85 is a good year.
Do you want to talk about Super Bowl commercials? Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, but like the previews that were under the Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure. I don't remember. I mean,
welcome. Well, you're the trailer guy. I got
Transformers.
The expert on the show.
I am.
I'm fortunate to have the expert on the show.
Welcome to the expert's realm.
Welcome to my dojo. I thought it was interesting that I feel like more than one trailer this year would show. It was like a 20 or 30 second spot, and then it would say, to see the whole thing, go to the website.
Yeah.
And they used to have to show the whole trailer, but now you can save millions of dollars by buying a 30-second spot and sending people to the website, which they were going to do anyway.
Can I say something?
Please do. Wait. I take that back. Don't. Please remain silent for the rest of the podcast. Here comes my monologue, everyone. It's about a fucking Care Bears.
Listen, there was
all right,
time.
You tend to hop there. Care Bears there, fuckers.
You know, by the way, that's more knowledge about Care Bears than I've ever gleaned before.
I'm from
anything.
Southie.
Yeah, I know you are.
That's
I swallowed a bug. Listen, we got snacks now, so let's move on. My point is this. There was a time, specifically the 80s and early 90s, when commercials during the Super Bowl was actually a pretty big deal. Because...
That's why everybody watched.
Right, for the most part.
I watched the Super Bowl
again,
for the articles.
This isn't like some grand statement.
No,
but I think back in the day.
Jay Leno.
I know. Well, you know, you hear about this? You see this?
Oh.
I have the worst Jay Leno.
I disagree.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the best Leno.
Oh. Listen, you could be
what
kind of
Jay
guys.
Leno interviewed? The creator of the Care Bears.
So tell me about this new project you're in. Tell me about your stomach. This is the dumbest Jay Leno impersonation. Let's move on. Okay, my point simply is this. The 80s and 90s, obviously, that was when, the late 80s and early 90s, it was like, oh, commercials, it's like... spectacular, you've got Michael Jackson who never appeared in this Pepsi commercial. And there's a story behind it.
If I'm not mistaken, Pepsi Cola burned him up.
That's right. But there's a mythology around it too. And there's the Apple commercial, I think for one of the first Apple IIs or something, that was like a pretty revolutionary commercial in the 80s. And it was a big deal. And I think the reason being, and again, this isn't some grand statement, was that commercials back then were shit. By and large, we're just like your local car dealer and, you know, the radio station and commercials for TV. You know, it's all just Chia Pet garbage. And I think now, and it's not a good thing per se, however, I think commercials by and large now are a lot more creative, meaning that there's, no matter what, any time of the year, you're going to see a commercial for something that's as creative as anyone can get.
Right.
My point, like, it's got CGI, you've got big-name actors.
We're getting way off topic. No, I couldn't believe how many fucking big-name actors were in commercials during the Super Bowl.
Listen, my point, we're not off topic. All right. There's no topic. This is that's everything.
Because I was going to say, like, now you aren't responsible to just create a commercial that sells a product. Now you have to create a commercial that's going to go viral tomorrow.
Exactly. And my point simply is this. The Super Bowl has become, I mean, it's always been kind of a joke. Not a joke, but it's been...
Especially this year.
It's been a carnival.
Packing Broncos.
It's been just a
bunch
carnival.
Bunch of cameras out there.
And there's so much...
I'm interception bear.
And the pre-show goes on for 4 days, and there's a post-show.
And
there's
chili
a special
peppers.
New girl afterwards. It's really
The Red
ridiculous.
Hot Chili Peppers weren't even playing their instruments,
no,
guys.
Not at all.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers are a sham.
Flea is a sham.
Yeah.
But my point is this, is that my point's been made. It's that commercials, like, it's so stupid. Like, all the commercials are dumb.
Right.
There's nothing clever. Ellen DeGeneres dancing with, like...
Does this tie back to movies?
Anthropomorphic, pansexual spokes things is not clever.
That's Portia de Rossi.
I loved her in that movie with Elle McPherson.
Sirens. So let's bring it back to movies, okay? Because now it's always like, visit our website, bitches.
Exactly. And that Bob Dylan commercial was the worst, but people were like, that commercial's the best.
I don't think I even saw it.
That was bad.
I wasn't paying attention.
3 minutes long, too.
Yeah, sorry. So the big three commercials that I can think of for movies are all these stupid tentpole movies that come out this summer. So we have Transformers 4, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
And Captain America 2.
Right.
Captain America the Winter Soldier looks unbelievable. And I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to get my hopes up too high.
Yeah.
I liked the first trailer for Captain America the Winter Soldier. I think this one was way better. And I'm crazy excited for that movie. And I don't want to be. And it's opening in April, which I think is interesting that Marvel is now choosing weird off-season dates. Because they opened Thor in November. They're opening this in April.
It's because they're pushing summer. They're pushing this summer. It's earlier and earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. So I'm super excited about Captain America Winter Soldier. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I'm glad you brought it up, actually, because Captain America, it's one of those movies, and we've talked about this before also, that's the first movie I had not low expectations, but just no expectation. I didn't know the character that well.
Yeah.
Previous incarnations were kind of cartoonish and a little like it's not obviously.
It was a gamble.
It's not.
Same with the first Thor. It was like, I don't know if they're going to get.
Right. And I think the
country,
Captain America, obviously with Joe Johnston that directed it, and just I really responded to it. I like
a lot of people really don't like that movie.
The World War II aesthetic and all that stuff. So I was really pleasantly surprised, and the trailers give me lots of hope. I think the next one. Now, Amazing Spider-Man, I did not like the first one.
Right.
And I missed a chance to see the master on 70mm at the Music Box to see Amazing Spider-Man.
But you have plenty of chances to see more Philip Seymour Hoffman. Wait.
Holy shit. I know, right?
Shit.
So I missed my chance to see the master in 70mm to see The Amazing Spider-Man. I did not like that movie. I know people out there do. I think Heath is a supporter and defender of that movie. And that's fine. I really liked some of the relationship stuff between Peter Parker and Mary Jane or whatever. But
Gwen Stacy, but sure.
Gwen, whatever.
It might as well be Mary Jane.
It's all the same stuff.
It was Mary Jane with blonde hair.
The CGI was laughable. It's just a lot of bad stuff. The trailer for the second one, I kind of liked.
I liked the first half of it.
The first teaser for Amazing Spider-Man I did not like.
Right.
I'm sorry, the first teaser for Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Right. Who could keep it straight?
And
I already have release dates for 3 and 4 also.
Jesus.
Because they're just so confident. The first couple minutes of this new trailer I liked enough because I love the look of Spider-Man. It looks so much like the comic book that I grew up reading. And I'm not as anti-Andrew Garfield as everybody else in the role. And there were a few moments early on in that trailer where he does kind of smart-ass Spider-Man in a way that, like, yeah, that's what I grew up reading, and I like that.
Ooh, a knife. Right.
Exactly. Right. And then it just turns into a Sega Genesis game.
Right. I mean, there's nothing real. There's no gravity. There's no weight to the movement.
It's just, it's a lot of neon light and just craziness. And there's, from what I read, and every week, there's a new casting announcement or a new, you know, Paul Bettany is going to play Vision in Avengers, and so-and-so is going to be in X-Men Days of Future Past, and Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor, and BJ Novak is a villain in Amazing Spider-Man 2. They're up to, like, 8 villains now. So there's always these different announcements, and I forget where I was going with this, but
that's always a good sign, by the way, too. When like your tentpole movie, like by the second movie, it's got we need 8 villains for this,
right? Well, and they're clearly building up to what's called the Sinister Six in the comic books, which is like the 6 most famous Spider-Man villains. And there's a shot in the trailer of a guy walking down a hallway, and as he walks past, you see Doc Ock's tentacles, you see the Vulture's wings all mounted on the wall. So it's like these villains exist or are going to, whatever.
What else are the 6?
I don't remember who else is in Sinister Six, honestly. Mysterio?
What's
Electro?
I don't know much about Spider-Man. What is the Jamie Foxx?
Electro, and Electro...
Like, he's a god. I mean, like, it's...
Well,
but my point is, in the preview, I know it's right. not the mythology of the comic book, but in the preview, it's like, I'm going to blast everything, and my thunderbolts from my fingertips can destroy a building.
Right. It's like, the Spider-Man I grew up reading, Electro was a dude in green spandex with, like, a lightning bolt mask. And, you know, he would shoot lightning, like, exactly right. Kind of what you picture that kind of a character to do. This comes more from, I guess, the Ultimates line, which is an interpretation of the character that I didn't really read Ultimate Spider-Man. So I'm not used to the way he looks. He looks like Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen.
That's what I'm thinking, too. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
And my big problem with that trailer that they showed during the Super Bowl, or maybe I went online and watched it, I can't remember. There's like a 6-minute trailer.
That's what I saw.
This is what they did with the last movie, too, where they were determined to release the entire movie before it came out. Before Amazing Spider-Man came out, they literally were putting out a clip every day, and you could see the entire movie. Somebody edited them together.
It's pretty much the whole thing.
It was the whole movie.
Yeah.
That the trailer that I saw suggests that Electro, his origin is like, he's mad that Spider-Man doesn't remember him, and so he turned evil. And I was like, boy, they are not even trying at all. Really? That's what makes him evil? And again, that's not fair. That's based on a trailer.
Dude, the straw that broke Electro's back.
It's not fair to make a judgment based on a trailer, but maybe there's more to it in the movie.
But in this case, we probably can. I mean, come on.
It's being written by those fucking guys who ruined Star Trek.
I did like... I like the trailer. It was actually gave me a little more confidence than the first teaser and the first movie.
Right.
Because I did like, I think Jamie Foxx can act well. Jamie Foxx is so interesting because in real life,
yeah.
I don't like him. Yeah. I don't like his swagger and his personality on stage and stuff, but I like him in most movies.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, obviously that's the case.
Did you ever see Booty Call?
I have never seen Booty Call.
He's pretty good in that.
But that's the case with most actors. And obviously, you have to separate Tom Cruise's crazy couch-jumping Scientology shit.
From his All You Need Is Kill awesomeness.
Right.
I'm sorry, Edge of Tomorrow. Have you seen that trailer yet?
Yeah.
I really like that trailer.
Yeah, I do too.
Everywhere I read is like, no, this just looks generic and we've seen this. And like, yeah, it's Groundhog Day, you know, whatever. But
it's
like
Groundhog Day meets Elysium or whatever.
Right, you know? Exactly. And the music is definitely Battle Los Angeles. I mean, there's a lot of elements, but I think that kind of looks cool. I'm excited about that movie.
Yeah. No. It looks cool. It's so Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, let's not talk about that anymore. It's the same shit. It's a lot of CGI. It's a lot of, like, why not just make it a cartoon? Why not just make it a Pixar movie?
I did not like the first movie. I will go see this movie opening day. Like,
well, you love Spider-Man. It's your favorite.
It is.
You love Marvel. And
also, like, you need to give things a chance.
You love spiders, man.
I'm amazed at...
Spider-Man.
I understand, like, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, won't get fooled again. So I understand that attitude of like, well, I didn't like the last movie, why would I go see this one? And people are entitled to see and not see whatever they want.
The definition of insanity is doing,
But I just feel like I got to give it a chance and maybe they'll get it right this time. And if this one's garbage, maybe I'll still go see the third one. Like, am I kidding? I'd like going to movies, you know?
Right.
I don't know. You just saw
like a bunch of weird movies, like Grabbers and whatever.
It's not Grabbers.
You're absolutely going to go see Amazing Spider-Man 3, Grabbers. 4, yeah. 5, 6,
I'll probably go see Transformers, you know? Although I did not go see the second one. I skipped Revenge of the Fallen in theaters. I eventually caught up with it.
I was going to say, you didn't skip it entirely.
On Blu-ray. But that was an instance where I was like, now I learned my lesson. I'm going to avoid this one. And I ended up going to see the third one only because I was interested in sort of the IMAX 3D and because it was shot in Chicago.
Yeah, for sure.
So I may skip this one.
I think that's the... No, I saw the first one. I skipped the second one. I saw the third one, and the third one is not good, but it's... Oh, Chicago!
It's light years better than the first two.
Absolutely. But yeah, okay, so this trailer, it's not really a trailer. It's just a teaser. They don't have... I don't even know if it's done yet, but Optimus Prime rides a Dinobot, and that's the last shot in the teaser.
And I guess we're supposed to be excited, because we grew up in the 80s, and look, there's dinosaur robots now. But again, what I don't understand, and what I didn't understand at the time and didn't care... The whole premise of Transformers, and they never really dive into this very much, is like they're robots in disguise. So Optimus Prime pretends to be a semi, and then when he doesn't need to pretend, he
can... I love her analyzing this.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I know.
And the thing I didn't understand in the first movie was like at one point they're hanging out in the suburbs because Spielberg produced it, and they're afraid that like Wiki's parents are going to... spot them, so they're hiding behind trees and stuff. And it's like, no, don't you turn into cars? Just be cars. Why are you hiding behind fucking trees? So there's no point.
Be more cars.
There's no point at which they actually take advantage of, like, I'm two things. I'm a car and a robot. But the point is that they're disguised as cars. They come from another planet, a planet where they have cars that look like American automobiles, apparently.
They don't have cars. They just are American
they
automobiles.
They are cars. Right. So, okay, fine. What is the dinosaur robot disguising himself as? A dinosaur?
It's the dumbest thing ever that's made to sell toys in the 80s because we're all stupid
and we didn't care.
We were stupid kids.
We were children and we're like, hey, I like dinosaurs. And now you've combined dinosaurs with robots. And that's cool. And I'm not going to question what need we would ever have to disguise ourselves as dinosaurs.
No, it's a fun tactile thing.
But these are movies being made for adults, right?
Yes and no.
No, they are obviously... mentally geared at kids, but like these are the blockbusters.
Of course,
these are the movies that like adults are supposed to go
see. We are the adults that we have the connection to this franchise from the 80s. Kids obviously don't. So that's why it's geared towards us, but man, it's total shit.
It's garbage.
It's garbage shit.
You mentioned Jamie Foxx, and that made me think of Collateral and how I want to watch Collateral again because it's been a while.
I recently saw Collateral again because I had the same thing. You are a much bigger Michael Mann fan than I.
I must be.
You love Miami Vice.
I do.
And we've talked before about how every once in a while you want to go back and watch this. You can't explain why.
Yeah.
Collateral is not even the best movie. I just like the way it feels.
Yeah.
I watched it recently, and it's...
Well, because I realized I should have brought this up in the What Have You Seen Lately, but I just rewatched Thief, which is Michael Mann's first movie from 1981 with James Caan and Jim Belushi and Tuesday Weld and some other people.
Tuesday Weld's in that?
She is.
It's a she?
And holy shit, that movie is super awesome.
Oh, yeah, you wrote about that for Verdict, right?
Yeah. I had seen it before, but it had been a long time, and I don't know if it was just seeing it more grown up, or seeing it on Blu-ray versus kind of a shitty-looking DVD, because Michael Mann likes to shoot a lot of stuff outside and at night, and there's a very specific kind of photography that he gets. And that's one of the appeals of Collateral and Miami Vice, I think, is the photography, even though both those movies are kind of shot, like, digitally, but not the way that new digital movies look. They look almost, they have kind of a VHS quality,
But it's a good, I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's fine for that aesthetic. It's not for Public Enemies, which he also shot in that style, and it doesn't make any sense.
Oh. You saw Public Enemies.
I did. Well, it's Michael Mann. You got to give it a chance. He's made other good movies, like he made Last of the Mohicans, and he made Manhunter, which people really love. Those are not the Michael Mann movies that I feel like revisiting. I kind of like his crime movies. I'll watch Collateral, Miami Vice, Heat.
You know, it's interesting.
I'll totally watch Thief like once a year now. Holy shit, that movie's good.
You talked about
shot in Chicago too.
He shoots outside.
Yeah,
he shoots at night.
Yeah,
something. This is a true story. Something interesting just happened in L.A. The city just announced.
Oh yeah.
That they're replacing all of their street lights with LED lights. And LED is a very different color spectrum.
It's going to ruin Michael Mann's photography.
It's very nerdy to talk about this, but it's so interesting because,
but he's the person that everybody thinks of.
Absolutely.
When that story comes out, everyone's like, what's Michael Mann going to do?
Because the tungsten lights, I think they're tungsten. They're very yellow.
Yeah.
So when you shoot at night, it's very blue and yellow, and it's kind of a great mix. And the LEDs are going to be very blue, I think. Very kind of cold.
Michael Mann is...
Very clean, which is also kind of takes away, too, because some of these movies are gritty and dirty.
Right. No, the lighting is such a big part of his movies. He is a crazy person and has always been a crazy person. And he's so, hyper-specific and has such laser focus on detail almost to an obsessive degree, and that's part of what makes his movie so cool. But even for Thief, which is his first movie, he hired all these professional cops and, like, career criminals to serve as consultants, and then he cast a bunch of them in the movie, but they switched places. So the criminals are playing the cops, and, like, Dennis Farina, who was still a cop at the time,
right,
this was his first movie.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. plays a criminal. Like, I don't know why he had him switch. It's just like, oh, that might be
interesting,
fun.
Right.
But, man, he's such a smart, fascinating person.
I gotta see this movie now.
And I found out, and I didn't know this, because one day I'll write a whole column on Miami Vice, because I keep talking about how much I like it.
The TV show.
Yeah. The movie. Apparently, there was a whole third act that had to be thrown out because whatever country they were filming in became too dangerous and they had to flee the country where his whole third act was written. So he kind of threw something together.
I remember nothing about that movie aside from like boats.
And that was a movie that I didn't love when we saw it.
It's kind of long, right?
It is long. It's about 2.5 hours. And I didn't love it when we saw it. And had I not gone back to it and given it a second chance, Evil Dead style, I would not have this movie that I've now seen probably eight times.
I like what you did there. You brought it back full circle.
See what I did?
Did we talk enough about the
fest? I finished. No, probably not. But this is an F Everything show.
I understand that, but just I want to get back to the
fest. What movie are you most excited to watch at the fest?
You know, the three that I've seen most recently, Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Do you think I said what movies are you most excited to watch?
You burnt Doug?
Singular?
Singular, sorry, yeah. My bad.
Singular.
Probably Back to the Future. I mean, okay. It's just such a great movie. I feel like watching it every 3 months.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I watch it maybe every year.
Yeah.
And it's been about a year and a half since I've seen it.
You're due.
So you're definitely due. And I want to see Goonies again to, like, challenge my, like, do I still like this? And I just challenged myself about a year and a half ago, and I still liked it. And I want to see it again. And I'm curious to see Explorers. I've never seen that, and I've never seen Commando, so.
I'm most excited about Commando, because that movie's very entertaining in a very specific way that I like.
Right.
But I think it'll be a ton of fun to, like, tweet through.
Sure.
And the weird thing is, watching movies this way, I've noticed the movies go by way faster than if you were just watching them. They fly by.
Oh, yeah. It's all of a sudden it's 12 hours later and you're like, where did they go?
I mean, I remember the first movie of the first fest was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And we all wore ourselves out right away because we were tweeting nonstop. And then we realized, like,
we broke Twitter, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were trending.
We got shut down.
Those are all things.
But it was like, okay, yeah, pace yourself, slow down a little bit because you don't have to tweet every 2 seconds. But I couldn't believe how quickly the movie went by. And I think Goonies that's going to happen a little bit because Goonies is so, like, set piece. Now we're here. Now we're here. Now we're here. Now we're at the octopus. Just kidding. That's cut out.
thankfully.
But Back to the Future, I think, is going to feel like it's 20 minutes long because the thing that always amazes me about Back to the Future, a couple of years ago, they did it at a midnight show at the Music Box, and I went. And I'm always amazed every time I watch that movie.
Was it a film print?
It was, yeah. Every time I go back and watch it, especially if there's some distance in between viewings, at how quickly that movie goes by to the point where they're at the dance and you can't believe they're already, and there's still a lot of movie to go once they're
absolutely
at the dance, and you trick yourself into thinking like, oh, there's 20 minutes left, but there's not, there's a lot that still has to happen.
Sure.
But it gets to the dance in what feels like a half an hour. I mean, it just goes by so fast.
That movie it feels like it never takes a break. There's never a pause or a beat.
No.
Like, oftentimes, even one of my favorite recent movies, Ghost Protocol, has a lot of great set pieces. And in between those set pieces, there's some talking scenes that are kind of slow and kind of like...
Is Paula Patton in them?
Yeah, she's great.
Okay.
She's the best. But she...
She's friends with Amy Adams and Zoe Bell. But
Jeremy Renner's in it, too, and he's not the best. So my point simply is, with that movie, there's great set pieces.
Yeah.
And even though Brad Bird's the man and he's awesome, there's a couple scenes that are just kind of, like, expository and don't quite work and fit.
Right.
I feel like Back to the Future has none of that. The closest thing Back to the Future gets to that is the scene where Marty has to convince his dad to do something to...
The scene with the Walkman, are you
talking? Yeah, where he's in the nuclear suit.
Yeah.
And plays the Walkman, plays some Van Halen on his dad, and then, silence, I am Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan. And it's funny, but it's... Yeah.
In 1985, that shit was hilarious to me.
Phone home, right? Where's the beef?
I get it. I get everything.
That was before everything was so self-referential. Yeah, it was actually pretty ingenious.
Right.
That's the only scene to me that is a little, but even that scene, it serves a purpose. It's a little linchpin. It lasts for 2 seconds.
I'm sure there's some, we can explore this phenomenon in some greater depth, probably not tonight, but there's this thing, Mission Impossible, you talking about Mission Impossible brings it up in my mind, that movies that even that you really like,
yeah,
sometimes mentally you're saying like, oh good, we're at this part. And then you kind of, now you're coasting for a little while and now you're excited. Oh great, because we're in the high rise sequence.
It's always the next,
high. You gotta sit, and a really great movie, and this isn't even true of all really great movies, but like some movies that I'm thinking of in my head, Back to the Future being one, has none of that, where it's all the same, it's all that plateau, all the skyscraper sequence in Mission Impossible 4.
Right.
Die Hard is like that, too. I don't find myself ever in Die Hard being like, oh, good, we're at this part. Oh, good, we're at this part. Because the whole thing plays like that.
It just keeps building and rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
What about La Belle et la Bête?
That's not the same kind of experience.
What about Wizard of Oz?
I feel like even, and I love Wizard of Oz, but I feel like Wizard of Oz is a little bit more...
Oh, you're just waiting for the next thing.
Yeah, a little bit more set-piece based. And maybe some of that is because they're songs, and so it becomes like musical markers throughout the movie. I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. I saw that movie at Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it in a long time, and it's great, obviously. But I forget when they go to Oz... And he sends them to the...
You think it's going to be over when they get to Oz and they talk to the wizard. You're like, oh, cool. We're there. Oh, no. There's another hour of this movie.
Even having just watched it, I've kind of forgot. I'm like forcing myself to remember. Oh, should they have to fight the witch?
Right.
Yeah, it's just very...
And then you see Oz the Great and Powerful and you find out that...
Oh, my God.
He's her dad and he's actually sending her to possibly die so that she can murder the girl that he fucked over. Right.
What a great movie, is my point. Oh, my
God. Who is that movie for? I go back to...
What is Total Recall for? The remake of Total Recall. Who's that for?
Dummies, I guess.
This is for dummies, too, because it's like, it's not for anyone. But Total Recall is great.
Total Recall, but I know who Total Recall the remake is for. Like,
it's for people who love The Fall. No, wait, what's the thing called? The Fall?
I believe it's called The Fall.
Where they go to the other side of the earth?
Yeah. I forget that, like, Bryan Cranston played the villain in that movie.
He's a national treasure.
He is. But Oz the Great and Powerful, and I'm sure I brought this up when we did a podcast on it, the Mila Kunis thing throws me, because A, she's a bad actress in that movie, and she's too small, and she's dwarfed by the special effects. But when we get to the end...
Bad special effects.
Spoilers for Oz the Great and Powerful. She's the fucking Wicked Witch, okay? Like... James Franco dicks her over, and she's upset, and then she turns into the Wicked Witch. But her costume at the end is very revealing. So she's green-skinned, like the Wicked Witch you remember, but she's showing all this cleavage. So it's like, am I supposed to have a boner? Is this for children or adult men?
It's a horrible, horrible
movie. So it's... Total Recall is at least for the same person. Yeah. I don't want to know that person, but okay, fine. But Oz the Great and Powerful is trying to be different things to different
people.
It's
Sam Raimi, too, who at one point I loved...
Yeah, I mean, I still do.
No. Fool me twice.
Yeah, right? Spider-Man 3. Oh, but he did Drag Me to Hell in between. Mm. Drag Me to Hell's pretty awesome, if you don't count the garbage ending. Not that we're going to spoil the garbage ending of Drag Me to Hell.
I always get that movie confused with the Jack the Ripper movie. What's that called?
From Hell. Yeah. Which I like less.
No, that movie I bought blind because I was in London and took the tour, which is great, which is a really cool
tour. Wait, you were in London not that long ago?
Yeah, it was 2012. February of 2012.
Bought From Hell? Why don't you, like, text me before you make these decisions?
Because I...
I totally understand.
You were in surgery. I couldn't text you. I had to make it. There was a deal of the day, and you were gone that day. Listen, the point is, in 2012, I went to London and did the tour, which I recommend to everyone. It's very cheap, and you walk around.
You get murdered by Jack the Ripper.
In kind of a crappy neighborhood, but you're with a tour guide, and he's showing you on this right here is where a person was murdered.
Wait, 2 steps to your left? Okay, right there.
Yeah, and this is the picture of the crime scene photo, the first crime scene photos ever, and it's really fascinating. And I'm like, I want to see a movie about this. And I saw
it. I want to take the magic home with me.
And it is boring.
I saw it in the theater and remember none of it.
Who's in it? Who stars in it?
Johnny Depp and Heather Graham.
Ooh,
Ian Holm, I believe.
She's a treasure.
Is she doing a British accent in that movie?
Yes, she is killing me softly.
It is. What is the deal with Heather Graham? Because you see Boogie Nights, and you can't believe how good she is in that movie. Yeah. And then you see almost every other movie she's ever been in.
Let's think about the better performances of Heather Graham. I don't mind her in Austin Powers 2.
She's fine.
She's fine.
Sometimes I feel like her mouth is moving when other people are speaking.
She's actually okay in The Hangover. She's very small part.
She's good in Bowfinger.
Okay.
I actually think she's really funny in that movie.
Killing Me Softly, she is not good.
License to Drive. I'm pretty sure she's very good in that movie. Mm. Drugstore Cowboy. She started out actually kind of good and then peaked around Austin Powers Bowfinger, which was 99. And then
peaked in 99.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a fox, though. She is a fox.
Yeah, no, she's great. We love
Yeah, we love Roller Girl, for sure.
I had something else I was going to say about somehow.
It doesn't matter.
Nope, you're absolutely right. It doesn't. I do that all the time, though, where I read something, I learn something, and then I get sent down a very specific rabbit hole.
Yeah, and you got to satisfy that need.
I remember being on vacation in California years ago and reading a book, and it was all about black filmmakers and coming back and buying, like, House Party on DVD. Because, like, there was a lot about Reginald Hudlin and House Party in this book. And I think I've probably watched it once, but like, I own House Party, and I've seen it probably three times.
I've never seen House Party 2. I don't think I've seen my copy of House Party. I used to see it in the 80s.
See, I never did.
And it was like, oh, Eraserhead, this is so funny.
Right. And I've never seen House Party 2, Pajama Jam. But I have seen Class Act, so I have seen another Kid and Play joint. Anyway, should we wrap it up then?
Yeah, you know, I want to say something real quick,
right,
and I hope this is the appropriate time. I've got a big announcement to make for F This Movie, a big personal announcement.
Yeah.
I know it's not Mr. Bromley's favorite thing I'm talking about, but the Doug Schultz is my name, and the Schultz family is actually going to be moving from Chicago to Los Angeles in March.
It's the Dream Factory.
The Dream Factory, Tinseltown, the Big Apple, as they call it. So first and foremost, my family, myself, my wife, my daughter are moving to California. My wife is from there and she came to Chicago for grad school. We met, fell in love, got married, had a baby.
Tell the whole story.
And now she wants to move back and I am going with her. And it's a very big deal for me and for my family and my friends. And I want to share that with F This Movie. I will still be a part of the site. Absolutely. I'll write stuff. Actually, I was thinking about writing something different.
Okay.
I don't know if trailers will go. I don't know. This is just honestly a very honest conversation. I don't know if trailers will go away.
Let's get real and I'll into the F Everything show.
I do want to do something.
After the Care Bear thing, but before the sign off, let's get real.
Let's get absolutely real right now. This is from the Huff. Yeah. So I'm speaking from the Huff. So obviously, I want to keep writing for the site and keep doing podcasts and do some video stuff out there. I'm not sure what that column will be, but I think it might be different than trailers. But you'll still hear from me. But just, I think during March, I'll probably drop off the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal. And if you're in LA, hit me up because I know no one. I literally know my wife's family and a couple people I went to high school with who I don't talk to anymore.
Amy Adams might be out there.
I think Amy
Adams. If only you liked her more.
And Zoe Bell and everyone else you mentioned before. So, yeah, no, it's a big deal, and I'm sorry to get all serious and dramatic and personal and whatever, but I wanted to
talk about it because it makes me sad.
Well, you know, it's not like I'm moving to, you know, across the world.
And, you know, this website is such that obviously you can still be as large a part of it as you have been since
the very beginning.
We won't be able to do shows like this necessarily where we are sitting together, but
no, although I do plan it's interesting. My wife, not to get into details, but her work situation will have her coming back to Chicago fairly often.
Oh, nice.
And obviously my family's out here. So I see myself coming back pretty often, actually. As often as I can.
Are we talking like every other weekend?
Probably.
Or? Okay. Because I can deal with that move if you're coming back every other weekend.
As often as I can, although, you know, you've never traveled with a kid.
No.
I traveled with an 8-month-old.
Can you leave her behind?
Oh, I'd like to leave her behind. No, I love my daughter. I'm just kidding. She's the best. No, just on a plane, all parents out there have traveled with 8 months old. It's
the good news is she won't. She'll be older.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. So older.
What's wild, too, is, like, she was actually good on the plane. It's just exhausting because it's, yeah, like, this distracted her for 30 seconds. Right, right, so right. The four-hour flight is broken up into 30-second increments.
Have you ever shown her the Care Bears movie?
I think I'll add the iPad. I will from now on. And GoBots.
You got the iPad?
Battle of the Rock Lord.
Battle of the Rock Lords, I believe.
Lords? Oh, damn it. There's more than one
Rock Lord. You got that second lead of one?
No. So I'll be back very often, and we'll do lots of fun stuff. But obviously, I'll still be on podcasts, and I'll still be contributing. And this is just to share with the community, because if nothing else, F This Movie is a family, I feel like. It's very communal. It's a very great sense of community. We all support each other. And I think, honestly, that's what separates it from other sites. We've talked about this a lot, that there's lots of love. Yes. There's lots of people embracing other people's ideas. And I love, for example, like our top 10 lists on the weekend weigh-in a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's like people... Like, some of those top 10 lists were batshit crazy. But it's not like, in any other site, I feel like people would be like, you're a fucking idiot, you're dope for saying this or whatever.
Right.
And I feel like our community is just kind of like, that's cool, that's who you are, and we respect that. And again, not to sound too sappy, but that's what's so cool about
I genuinely feel like everybody that comments regularly, people drop in from time to time to, like, call me names or whatever, and that's fine. The people who comment regularly, who I've never met in person, you know, and never even talked to over the phone.
I have no idea what voice Saul has.
Or even if he's a dude for real.
Right. I'm pretty sure one of them isn't.
But I really do feel like they're all my friends. And that's, I really, really genuinely do feel like that. And that's part of what's so much fun about F This Movie Fest, is that as soon as somebody chimes in, you're no longer just tweeting about movies with strangers. Like, we all know each other.
Right.
As soon as everybody's in there together, we all know each other, and we're all just joking around and having a great time together.
And even new people, I feel like it's so, in this situation specifically, it's, you can so quickly become part of this community.
Yeah.
It's not like you need to, I mean, if you're welcome. Everyone's welcome, obviously.
Yes.
You know that. Please, if you get, I mean, even if you just want to tweet like, hey, I'm here, please do so, just to let us know that you're watching.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the whole five movies.
Right.
That's, honestly, it's a pretty big commitment.
Right.
And I know different people in different countries, like Brad in Australia, we have a couple of English, Gabby in London.
It's going to be overnight for some people.
And I know they can't do it. But just if
they could, if they weren't quitters.
Exactly. So just chime in and tell us you're around. That'll be great.
And get the word out.
And you heard it from Patrick that he's got so many friends online, he won't even miss me when I move.
My real friends don't move across the country.
They already live across the country. That was my mistake, living down the block from
you. That's right. Get the word out, everybody, and let's, you know, make this the biggest fest yet. Obviously, we love that it's sort of this fun, exclusive club, but the great thing about our community is always that no matter how big it gets, it never feels like... We're never cliquish, you know? At least I don't ever want to be cliquish. And so I want as many people participating as you can get. Tell your friends. Tell other
If you want to tweet
movie fans online, like whoever,
writers and whatever. I mean, let people know, because it's not something... Obviously, we're promoting this, and it's going to benefit the site, but that only benefits everyone, I feel like. It's not just like, look how great we are at all. It's not bad at all. I feel like everyone out there...
It's a little bit for me, everyone.
Everyone out there would have fun doing this.
Yes.
And it's still, as far as I know, the only Twitter film festival.
As far as I know.
Right.
We call it the world's only.
I'm pretty sure it's on a Saturday. That's what I've determined. We have to double check that. We sent a press release out to... a lot of people, and IndieWire actually picked it up, which is very nice. Thank you very much, IndieWire. So double check that and do a little retraction.
I'm pretty sure we're right. Oh God, that would be bad. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening to this podcast. We cannot wait to talk to you all on Saturday the 15th.
Yes.
We will see you there at noon Central Standard Time, starting with Pee-wee's Big Adventure. We'll be right back.